May we help to commence our worship of God this morning by singing together hymn number 384. Hymn 384. Tune of Walton 430. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384. June Walton, 430.
Thank you. Our reading this morning from God's holy word you'll find in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah and chapters 34 and 35. Isaiah 34 and 35. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever, from generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it for ever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. And it shall be an habitation of dragons, and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr or a goat-like creature shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay, and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth, it hath commanded, and his spirit, it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. The wilderness and the solitary place shall shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I leave the reading of God's word there, and may we each be helped now to rightly pray. Most holy, almighty Lord God, we come now, this morning hour, into thy presence, into thy house, and may we be filled with that right reverence, that right fear, as we do so. Lord, without that true understanding, by thy Spirit of who thou art, we cannot worship aright. Without a felt sense of our utter depravity, our complete sinfulness, Lord, we will not fall before thee. O Lord, if there be one and another who are dead in trespasses and sins, Lord, work, we pray. Create in them that new heart, so that they may understand. Lord, so that they may see what stands before us all. Lord, eternity should be a tremendous sound in the ears of all of us. And yet, Lord, we do not want to come and worship a God whom we only fear and respect because of what thou wilt save thy people from. But Lord, may it be our desire to come and worship thee for who thou art, one that is just and holy, one that is unchangeable, one that is full of mercy and righteous wrath, one who hast made that way for sinful man to come and approach thee through thy dear Son. May we have impressed upon the minds of all of us our need of that precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. Without that perfect sin-atoning sacrifice, Lord, we cannot draw near to thee. So we thank thee this morning that there is that way between God and man through the man, Christ Jesus. The blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. But this man, this perfect sacrifice, has done that work. So we thank thee for it. And as we assemble this morning, Lord, may there be much prayer in the hearts of one and another. Lord, that today may be the day. Today thou wilt speak to them. Today thou wilt apply thy word to their heart by thy Spirit, so that they may find rest for their souls. Lord, thou knowest if, Lord, there are any desiring to be spoken to through thy word today. O Lord, may it be so, that it will come with power and be applied indeed. Lord, we thank thee for thy day, that one day in seven where we come apart from the things of the world. Lord, we know that we do not have that love of thy day by nature. We view it as an intrusion upon our lives. Yet, Lord, may each one be kept to come to greatly value thy day. Lord, it is a day naturally where it does us good to lay aside the things of the world. But Lord, may we each come to that point where we look to thy day as pointing towards that heavenly rest, a foretaste of heaven, that time where the saints gather together, one with another. Oh Lord, we gather this morning, and may it be so that we gather in that way, as the church here below. May we truly be bearing one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ, and be found drawing near unto thee. Lord, we thank thee for the preached word. We thank thee for the word of God, the Bible. We thank thee for the freedom that we have to worship still. May we value and cherish these things. So be with the children and the young people gathered here this morning. Be with those that are very young. We pray for them as they come, and they may understand little, or may they understand something. And as their parents may try and teach them at home as well in the afternoon, Lord, may they also in that come to understand why we come to chapel. Come to understand in their own hearts who Jesus Christ is and who thou art. And Lord, that we may understand and teach them while they are young to walk in that narrow way by thy grace. And keep them from that wrong company, keep them from those wrong friends, keep them from those wrong thoughts. And may there be prayer in their young years unto thee. We thank thee that there is another generation in this place, that there is those children, those young people. Lord, we acknowledge thy goodness. We pray for the young people here as they have exams in the coming weeks, or have had those assessments through this year, and wonder where the future will lead them in the coming weeks and months. May they be much in prayer over it. And Lord, may the way be made clear. And may they be kept from grieving thee in their youth. O Lord, we look back to our own youth and we tremble over much that we were left to walk in. Yet Lord, we thank thee that we were kept from falling into what we would have done by nature. So we pray for them that thy hand may be going before them and keeping them in the future weeks, in the many things before them, and all the young people too. Pray for parents here, those in business, and mothers too, Lord, in their many needs. We pray for them all. May they truly know thy goodness going before them, supplying their every need. Help them as they try and bring up their families in that right way. Lord, grant much grace, grant much strength. Pray for the deacon here and his loved one to be with them in all their many concerns. Lord, give them that strength to carry on, Lord, we pray. And as the preached word is laid before the people here week by week and those read sermons from time to time, Lord, may thy hand be seen in it and may thy rich blessing rest upon it. Pray for one who has gone forth to preach the word from this place this morning. Help him where he labours and his loved one too. Give him strength to carry on, we beg. We pray for one older in years with us this morning too. We thank that she has the strength to come out this morning. Bless her in her own soul too. And may there be that union one with another and that true love, we pray. Lord, we come this morning in our varying needs. And we come, Lord, with that great need as we are sinners before a holy God. Lord, make us grieve over our sin. Lord, show unto us the sinfulness of it. And Lord, may we truly come and convicted under it. And prove with the hymn writer, should sudden vengeance seize our breath, we must pronounce thee just in death. And if our souls were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. O Lord, smite us, Lord, we pray, if we are not under that conviction of sin. But Lord, do not stop there. Reveal unto those, Lord, a precious Saviour, and may it be so today, that we may see indeed the blood of Jesus Christ thy Son, cleansing us from all sin. Lord, lead us on in that narrow way which leads to life eternal. Lord, for we are prone to wander, so keep us, Lord, we beg. And Lord, we will pray for all those that faithfully preach the word today. Those we know and love for the truth's sake that will be preaching up and down this land today. And those we don't know too, we would remember them. And we would likewise pray for those in other lands too. We would pray for Tim Parrish at this time. Do be with him at Shoto. Do help him, give him strength, Lord, in the coming hours to preach the word there. And may he prove in these coming weeks and months that he is in his right place at this time. And graciously bless the word unto them in America in these coming weeks. But we pray for his loved one at home and his family too. Do graciously bless her at this time as well. And may she be comforted. And may she be blessed in the sacrifice that she has made in these months. But Lord, there are many that make great sacrifices for the truth's sake. Lord, may there indeed be that rich reward on this earth and that rich reward in heaven above. We pray for all those that worship in persecution and in fear today. Lord, there are so many where there is such unrest, where there is great trouble. Lord, we pray for them all. And may they truly know that it is well with them and will be well when called to die. We pray for our land and our nation at this time, Lord. We have entered this period of so-called Pride Month. O Lord, do humble, proud man. Do smite away that which is wrong. And where those wrong relationships are promoted, where those wrong sexual identities are pushed upon us, Lord, to row back the tide of iniquity and turn us again to thy word. Reveal unto all those, Lord, that walk in that way how wrong it is. And yet, Lord, may we truly treat them with that love, that care, and that prayer. O Lord, do break through. Turn our nation again to once again build upon the solid foundation of that thy word. Rather than men pursuing that which is right in thine eyes, right in their own eyes and wrong in thine eyes. So lead us, Lord, we pray, to turn again to thee. We pray for our King at this time. Lord, may he be that right example. Work within him to stand fast for that which is right. We pray for those throughout the world who are caught up in warfare and conflict. So many, Lord, who live in great fear. Lord, may we truly value what we have and thank thee for the peace reigning in this land. But Lord, we beg for a revival. And if, Lord, trouble should fall upon this land, may it be for the good of many souls. Lord, turn us, we beg. Have mercy upon us, we pray. But Lord, we gather this morning, few in number, but Lord, may we be united one with another. May we be as one. May we be much in prayer that thy word today will truly be for the good of our never dying souls. Open the ears of the people so that they may hear truly the word of God. And give us every word to speak so that today we may just be thy messenger with thy message. And Lord, may it be a message from on high. Help us, Lord, in all aspects of our worship, the reading of the word, the public prayer, the preaching of the word, and the singing of thy praises. Lord, may indeed today the thoughts of our hearts and our meditations be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask all, Lord, for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
The notices for this week, God willing, are that Mr. Graham Cotton will preach again here this evening, Mr. Robert Field on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And there is a church meeting arranged for tomorrow night to commence at 6:30. The collection taken at the anniversary service for this little cause amounted to £206.40. We would desire to acknowledge the Lord's provision with a thankful heart. Let us continue our worship singing together hymn number 714. Hymn 714, tune Belmont 101. Why so cast down, dejected soul? A loving Christ is near. Thy broken bones he can make whole, thy drooping spirit cheer. If guilty stings thy conscience feel, and pierce thee through and through, yet past backslidings Christ can heal, and love thee freely too. Hymn 714, tune Belmont 101.
Thank you.
us each here this morning as we turn to his word, and a word you'll find in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 8 to 10 I'll read. Isaiah chapter 35 and verses 8 to 10. And then highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It was really those three words in verse 8 which drew me to this chapter, and a way. And a way. In these two chapters that we read together this morning, we have two ways, really. We have the way of the world, the way of God's enemies in chapter 34, and the sure and certain and final destruction that will come upon them at that great day of judgment. Yes, we may look upon the world, we may look upon those round about us and the ease that they seem to go through this life and the many benefits and pleasures that they have, which the Lord's people sacrifice and do not take a part of. But those pleasures will and must end. And God's word is clear. There will be a judgment upon those who are not his people. That's what we have in the closing verses of that 34th chapter, isn't it? Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail. The certainty of that prophecy, the certainty of the righteous indignation of a holy God against his enemies. There will be that utter desolation. But we have, in this 35th chapter, the joy of Christ's kingdom. The joy of his people. And we can look at this chapter rightly as being a prophecy of the return of God's people in centuries past to Jerusalem. We could also rightly look at this chapter as being Christ's first coming to this earth. And we could also look at it as his second coming too. So as we look at this chapter really as a whole this morning, and consider the way, or a way, may the Lord search our hearts to see if we are in that way which leads to life eternal, or whether we are in that way that leads to destruction. And to consider a little of the blessings in Christ that have already been fulfilled for the Lord's people, and the many great benefits there are of walking in this highway, this narrow way, this holy way, which leads to eternal life. So before we concentrate on this highway, this holy way, these verses 8 to 10, I did feel that we must really touch upon these earlier verses in this chapter. The blessings in Christ that have already been fulfilled for his people. Verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. In that first verse, we have set before us that picture of a wilderness, that dry place. That place where nothing grows. There are many deserts in the land at that time. And there are many that look at these verses as being fulfilled in the Jews returning to the land after the Second World War. And how many of those wildernesses have now been turned into fruitful places. But what about us? It sets before us, doesn't it? And we may have seen those videos, those images of parts of Africa and those very dry lands where when there is that heavy rain and the rain sweeps through the wilderness, through the solitary places, everything before then looks dead, dry, barren. Nothing could grow there. And in a matter of hours and days, everything is green. Flowers pop up where nothing was there before. And life comes. Dear friends, that's the case. When the Lord comes into the hearts of his people, when the showers of his blessings reach upon them, yes, everything seems so dead, dry, absolutely lifeless. But when God's grace sweeps like a flood into their hearts, there's that blossom. Those flowers showing come forth. There is indeed that rejoicing, that joy, that singing, whereas moments before, there was nothing at all. Nothing at all. No satisfaction. Set before us so well in that hymn 337 of John Newton, from Egypt lately freed, by the Redeemer's grace, a rough and thorny path we tread in hopes to see his face. The flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. This only leads to endless day, all others lead to hell. But this third verse, the promised land of peace, faith keeps in constant view. How different from the wilderness we now are passing through. In that hymn, Newton was looking to heaven to come. But for the believer in this life, there will be that foretaste of heaven. That wilderness that has turned into abundant blossom and rejoicing and joy and singing. There will be those eyes fixed on that heavenly kingdom, that beauty to come. The wilderness. Do you feel to be in a wilderness this morning? Do you have to say, this world is not my home? But have you known a little of his grace being poured into your heart? And that inward rejoicing, even with joy and singing. But in that third verse too, we have, don't we? Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Before the Lord grants any strength to his people, we are utterly weak. We may think we are strong, but we have nothing in and of ourselves to do anything which is honouring to him. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Those weak hands which could only sin. Those weak hands which could do nothing but sin. Oh, when the Holy Spirit enters the heart of the believer, those weak hands are strengthened. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now those hands are turned to the Lord. Now those hands are turned to the Word of God. Now those hands are folded together in prayer. Those hands are strengthened, which were so weak. And those feeble knees likewise are confirmed or strengthened. It is like that, isn't it? The believer feels so weak. But we were a lot weaker before the Lord came. We may pray, and we should pray, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our strength. He does. Because even in those cries for more faith and for more strength to carry on, there is that work within. There is that dependence upon Him. There is that realization that in us we are weak, but in Him we are strong. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Do you have to prove that without Him you can do nothing? But likewise, do you have to prove that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me? It's the only way we can do anything right, isn't it? As Christ gives strength. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And that fourth verse, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Is there one fearful this morning here? Fearful heart, full of fear. Be strong, dear friend, be strong. Not in your own strength, but in resting upon the precious promises of God. Be strong in His strength, not your strength. Rest upon His peace. Don't look for any peace that you can create yourself. Be strong. What did the Apostle Paul have to say? When I am weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, this goes so much against the teaching of our secular society, doesn't it? We are encouraged, every one of us, to be strong, to be bold, to be individuals, to be our own person. It's frowned upon to be reliant and dependent upon Christ. But the Lord's people see a beauty in it. The Lord's people see a beauty in resting in another's strength. Are you resting in the work of Christ this morning? You've tried to be strong. You've tried to resist the devil yourself. You've tried to row back against the tide of iniquity that is within you by nature. You've tried to fight the devil in your own strength. You've had to prove you've got weak hands. You've got feeble knees. You can only be strong in Christ. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Why? Because His arms are underneath His people. Because He, as we read in verse 5, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And that's the work of grace, isn't it? As Newton said in his most well-known hymn, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now am found, was blind, but now I see." Do you see here? "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." When Christ enters one of his people, when Christ begins that work within the hearts of his people, their ears are unstopped. They now have a hunger to hear the word of God. They now come longing that the Lord will speak to them through his word as they come for worship. Their eyes are searching the scriptures now. Something has changed. "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." Hear the commands and obey the commands. Walk in that way. "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." We do not want to dwell too much longer on this way, and we should probably move on to what we have announced as our text, but really our text is this whole chapter. But to consider this way. "An highway shall be there." A highway. This is really pertaining to a way, a road, a route that was made in those Bible days where kings, those in authority, would travel along a specific route for the chosen people to go along and not for everybody to use. And it does really point to us, doesn't it? The way of salvation. That narrow way which leads to life eternal. As we have in hymn 543, Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way, the church has trod down from Adam's day to this. Jesus is the living way. All beside to ruin lead. They are safe, and only they, who are one in Christ, their head. This is the highway being spoken of here. "And then highway shall be there, and away." Away. Jesus is the way. The way to safety. The way to peace. Because what did Jesus say when he was on this earth? In one of those many "I am" sayings in John's Gospel. John 14, I believe it is, isn't it? Yeah, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that was how Christ comforted his disciples, wasn't it? His disciples were troubled. There was much they didn't understand. There was much that they could not fathom about why Jesus had come and where his kingdom would be. But what did Jesus say to them? "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." It's the heavenly way, isn't it? The way to God through Christ. That's why Jesus said elsewhere, isn't it? "I am the door, the way of access to God. I am the way." Have you been searching for that way? You know you need to be in the way. You fear lest you're in the broad way that leads to destruction. You long to be in that narrow way. The way is through Christ. I am the way. The way to the highway. The way to that place of safety. That way that is lifted up above other ways. And highway shall be there. And a way. But dear friends, what is this way called? What is this way called? It's called the way of holiness. By nature, in our unregenerate state, we don't want the way of holiness. We want the way of earthly pleasure. We want to enjoy everything that this earth can offer. And don't get me wrong, there is a right way of enjoying God's creation. There is a right way of enjoying the family relationships, the friends that God has given to us. There is a right way in enjoying His bountiful goodness. But if we're only walking in this life to satisfy ourselves, we're not serving Him. If we're only praying for things in this life, as we read in James, that we may fulfill upon our lusts, so that we may have an easier life, that's not the reason, dear friends, why we're here. The Lord's people on this earth are called to walk in the way of holiness. We can only walk in that way by His grace. But the Lord's people are called to be those new creatures. When that work has begun within their hearts, there is a change. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when we walk by faith, there will be that change. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. And it was this verse that I had upon my mind. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is that new way. Old things are passed away, and there will now be that walking in that new way. Those new desires, those new longings. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And where there is that reconciliation to a holy God through Jesus Christ, there will be, by God's grace, that walking in that narrow way, that holy way, that prayer day and night. Oh, keep me, Lord, in that narrow way, the way of holiness, that we may not grieve Thee. And there was another verse as I just turned my Bible back, which is just over the page in 2 Corinthians, which so touches upon it too. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's the prayer of the Lord's people, who want to walk in that holy way. And that's the command to them. Come out from among them. Come out from among your old idols. The church at Corinth at that time were worshipping many idols, were walking in many wrong ways. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. When God reigns in His heart, in the hearts of His people by His Spirit, ye are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore there must be that walking in the way of holiness. Highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Do you feel to be a wayfaring man or woman this morning? This world is not your home. You're travelling through. You may feel to be a fool. You may feel to be so ignorant. You may feel to need so much. But you're no longer content, are you, to err in the pathway that leads to destruction. Oh Lord, we cry, make me holy. Keep me holy. Sanctify this pathway that I am now in to the good of my never dying soul, so I may be kept in the way of holiness. The way of holiness. That's the way. It is a highway. It is a holy way. But you say, well, we have to give up all this. What is in it for me? Dear friends, it's a safe way. In verse 9 we read, don't we? No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. In one way, before the Lord works in the hearts of his people, we do not see the lions. And when our feet are placed upon that way which leads to life eternal, it is only then that we see the lions. But dear friends, the lions of Satan, the lions of our sinful nature, are chained. And it is better to see a danger and to react than to see no danger at all and to be overcome and smitten by that danger. And on the highway, the way of holiness, we see a straight way, we see a narrow way, and all the way, all the while, our eyes are fixed on heaven, all the while our eyes are fixed upon Christ, we will not see the lions. But you know what it is in your life? Your eyes are taken away from Christ. Your eyes are taken away from the holy way, that road that leads straight ahead, and we're looking to one side, we're looking to another, and what do we see? Lions everywhere. We see danger surrounding us. My thoughts go to a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yes, there may be those lions. Yes, we may fear greatly those lions. But dear friends, they're not in the highway. They may be about us. They may be either side, but all the while the Lord hedges up our way, keeps us in that way, that highway to heaven. Those lions, they may trouble us, but they cannot reach us. We are above them in that highway. Any ravenous beast will not be able to consume us. But while we are walking in that narrow way, while our feet are kept in that narrow way, it is almost like we are with the psalmist, Psalm of David, isn't it, in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What fear there is in the hearts of the believer. But if our feet are on that highway, that holy way, it is a safe way. A safe way. No lion shall be there. But it's that heavenly way, isn't it, that we read of in verse 10. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We see a great similarity, don't we, in that and those words in the towards the end of Revelation chapter 21. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That high way, that holy way, that safe way that leads to heaven, that leads to glory, that way that the redeemed shall walk there. When Jesus spoke about being the door, you know, there was only that way to enter in, wasn't there? Not able to climb up any other way. Not able to force our way in. But when Jesus draws his people to himself and opens up himself to them and they enter in, the redeemed of the Lord walk in that way. Walk in that highway, that heavenly way that leads to glory. But to the Lord's people, with their eyes fixed heavenward, it is finally a happy way, isn't it? They come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. It's a pathway of peace. It's a pathway that, yes, they may struggle in, but the Lord carries them on. The Lord goes before them still. It's that peace of God which keeps them, isn't it? Which passes all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are you troubled this morning? May feel those lions round about. What's keeping you? Is it the peace of God, which passeth all understanding? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus are fixed on that heavenly way. That heavenly highway of holiness. It's a peaceful way. But to the Lord's people, they rest upon the promises of his word, don't they? What does he say? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. If he is our heavenly shepherd, he cares for his sheep. He won't leave them to wander off out of that highway. He keeps them in it. Keeps them in it. Never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But in this wilderness journey, in this highway that leads to heaven, we need those supplies, don't we? What does the word of God say? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He shall supply them. He will be with them. A highway shall be there, and a way. My thoughts go in conclusion to that hymn number 144. Above that hymn it labelled, isn't it, Christ the way. Jesus my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way, till him I view. The way the holy prophets went, the road that leads from banishment, the King's highway of holiness. I'll go, for all his paths are peace. This is the way I long have sought, and mourn because I found it not. My grief, my burden long has been, because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. And then highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. But the question as we come to a close this morning really is this: are we in that highway? Or are we in that way which leads to eternal destruction, as we read together in chapter 34? Has the Lord drawn you? And that is the only way that we can walk in that highway, is as the Lord draws us. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No can come, none can come, unless they are drawn. Has the Lord drawn your hearts and your affections to a precious Christ? Has he in his love and mercy drawn you into that narrow way, that high way, that holy way, that safe way, that heavenly way, that happy way? Oh, if the Lord has, praise the Lord. If he is bringing you into that way, seek him still. And if you know nothing of this way, may the Lord bring you to life. Flee from the wrath to come, and set your feet in that way. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 263. Hymn 263, tune Jonathan, 356. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What sorrows by their souls are born, and how for sin they daily mourn. Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee, and when my mourning days are o'er, enjoy thy comforts evermore. Hymn 263, tune of Jonathan, 356.
Thank you.
beg to apply thy word to our hearts. Lord, may we all be found in that highway, that holy way, that heavenly way. And look to that time where all our mourning days shall cease, and we be filled with joy and peace, and comforts eternal we shall prove, dwell forever in thy love. O Lord, if we do not know that way, one and another, Lord, in thy mercy, draw us into it. Be with us now, between the services we pray. Come up again, this evening we beg, and as we sit round thy table too, Lord, do bless this time unto us. Help us to keep thy day, help us to value thy day, and grant unto us those safe journeys. Forgive all that we have spoken wrongly, but that which has been of thee, Lord, apply it by thy Spirit, and may it remain with the people. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.